The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice. Sweaty and pissed,
menopause makes me sweaty and pissed. Hello?
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, my Karen.
Here we are back for Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More.
So, I know, on this hot, sultry evening in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oppressive.
I know. I'm Leanne Morgan.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Okay, no. I'm a comedian and I'm clueless. This is Karen Nickel, my nurse practitioner, brilliant Elvis is what I call her. So, my darling.
Yes. Well, we wanted to start out by talking a little bit about, once again, about finding a provider.
Yeah, we've had a lot of girls on Facebook worried out of their minds, wallowing in the grass, trying to find somebody to tend to them. Which is, I'm so lucky I've got you. Have I told you that lately? I am.
Thank you.
And it is hard to find a Karen Nickel. So, you tell people the best way is to...
So the best way, and we mentioned this, or I mentioned it maybe three episodes ago, but we thought it was worth repeating.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I can't just give out names to people who are in this area, but a really good way to find someone is to contact your area compounding pharmacist and ask them who is compounding hormones. If you're looking for hormones specifically, who is compounding hormones and who is doing a good job of compounding hormones? Mm-hmm. And they are an excellent resource. The other thing you want to be looking for is someone who labels themselves as someone who practices integrative medicine or functional medicine. And that is the kind of person who will be doing these kinds of things for their clientele or patients. So the best place to start, and I would call more than one compounding pharmacy and see if you get a name that keeps repeating. Mm-hmm. And I know in the bigger metropolitan areas, you're going to have more options. I know there's a family practice in Nashville, for instance. They do all of this stuff in their family practice, a regular family practice office. So they do exist. They are out there. Mm-hmm. You just have to dig a little bit. And they may not be preferred providers on your insurance. So, or they may not take insurance at all. It may be a cash pay practice altogether. Mm-hmm. So those are things to consider, because it takes a lot of time and energy to practice this kind of medicine, and it's hard to do in an insurance-based practice because we schedule 15-minute appointments, and these wellness practices that are cash pay practices, and we have several of them here in Knoxville, you know, their appointments will be an hour, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a very different approach because time limits aren't a problem that they have to deal with, because they're not beholden to insurance companies and having to meet certain productivity numbers in order to pay the bills. That's just the truth of it. So anyway, your compounding pharmacy in your area is a really excellent resource, because they know who's sending in prescriptions. They know who's writing prescriptions appropriately. They know the outcomes, because the patients are coming in and picking up their prescriptions and often confiding or sharing their problems that they're having with the pharmacist.
I'm told Suzette knows everything about
me. See?
And they love you. So, yeah, we all talk about, you know, Karen, that Karen Nickel, that smart thing.
Yeah, but I mean, so they hear how people are doing. Are they doing well? Are they not doing well? Overall. You know, so they're an excellent resource. So I would start there. I know it's not specific advice, but it's the best way to start the process of finding someone that is the right person for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that being behind us, and we'll
good luck, everybody.
Good luck
good
to
luck.
Everybody
else. You may
else.
Have to drive over to Asheville, North Carolina, or you may have to, you know, go peace yeah. out to go, you know, fine. But I've told you, I was doing a show in Wahala, South Carolina, and a compound pharmacist came up to me and said, thank you for the shout out.
Yeah.
She said that we are the ones that know.
Yeah. They do.
And so there's a compound pharmacist in Wahala, South Carolina that you know, is probably
know.
Helping people. Yeah. So that's the way to go.
Yeah.
So good luck, everybody. I hope it works out for you. Okay. So we're going to talk about the men.
Yes.
All these little men. Not little men, but you know what I mean. I feel like they are so sensitive, you know?
Yeah.
I did not realize until I had a son. Because I was raised with a sister.
Yeah.
And my little daddy, who's 78, so tenderhearted, and cried the drop of a hat, and took us to the mall, and sat and held our purse while we walked up and down some stupid mall. God love him. He didn't have a hobby.
That's awesome.
He's the sweetest daddy in the world. And then, you know, when my mom had the stroke and he was at Vanderbilt, he told everybody there how romantic their lives had been and how in love they were and the movies they liked to watch, and everybody fell in love with him at Vanderbilt, while my mother rolled her eyes, you know, like, oh, he's killing me. Very needy.
He's
a
romantic.
Darling. He's very romantic and very tenderhearted.
Yeah.
And I now, with a husband for 27 years, I think is more sensitive than he's ever been.
Yeah.
He's 53. And I tell him, we kid all the time, but the kids say, Dad, you're like a 13-year-old on her period. And he is very sensitive. We have to wear kid gloves around him. But I wonder if is that his hormones?
It could be. Could
or
be.
He's just
could be living with all you girls, I guess.
Maybe. And we make jokes out of him.
No, but, and we talked a little bit about this on a previous episode, but we did have a request from a listener on Facebook who asked, you know, do men have hormone imbalances and what do you do about that? And typically a 50-year-old male will have about half the testosterone level he had at 20. So it's definitely a gradual decline. They don't go through what women go through in that typically, unless there's a serious health problem. Typically, the testosterone dropping is a very gradual thing, whereas for women, you have hormones, and then boom, you don't have hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, things can get out of balance before you stop making hormones altogether, but it's typically not so gradual. It's a much more abrupt transition. So sometimes it can be hard for men to identify that might be a problem for them because it is so gradual.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not surprisingly, the last thing to go typically when testosterone starts dropping is sex drive. That seems to stay intact even with fairly low levels.
Mm, great. Okay, so other things start to go first.
Yeah, so I would say the most common symptom that is an initial symptom is irritability and depression. And then other symptoms tend to be things like if you're still working, that you don't feel as sharp or driven as you once were. You're not as competitive, not as
sure as yourself.
Yeah, self-confidence. Yeah, self-confidence diminishes. So there are much more mood kind of changes that people will often notice first. And then the other things that can start happening are decreased muscle mass and more difficult time building muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
So they can work out in the gym and they're They just can't lay down muscle like they used to. Some people, again, then eventually will start having a drop in sex drive and erectile dysfunction. I have to say that adding testosterone oftentimes doesn't really help the erectile dysfunction as much as the sex drive. So frequently we have to add something like Viagra or Cialis to help with erectile dysfunction, even if people are on testosterone. So we don't see as much benefit in the erectile dysfunction or ED as one would imagine you would have by replacing testosterone. So also going to have sleep problems if your testosterone is dropping. Stamina problems, you just don't have enough energy to support you through the day oftentimes. So there are a couple ways to address that. One is clearly to replace testosterone, especially if it's below normal or at the very bottom of the normal range. And there are multiple ways of doing that. There are testosterone injections. There are testosterone creams and gels. And there are testosterone pellets that can be inserted under the skin. So there are several ways to replace testosterone. When a man has low normal testosterone, if they're having a lot of low testosterone symptoms and we opt to go ahead and start them on testosterone, even though they're still sort of in the normal range, I do inform men that down the road, if you come off of it, you're going to just go back to baseline and probably even below baseline after stopping it. So I always want people to know that their testosterone is not going to come roaring back typically after stopping testosterone if that happens in the future. So that's one way to do it. When I replace testosterone, I also look at estrogen levels and give supplements to help reduce estrogen, because high estrogen in men can give you the same symptoms as low testosterone. So we don't want to bump up the testosterone level and not address the estrogen, because when your testosterone goes up, which is what we're shooting for, the estrogen levels will also go up. So you need to address keeping those estrogen levels down. And typically we use things like DIM, diindolmethylamine, which we've talked about before, over the counter, or Crysin, CHRYSIN, which is an over-the-counter supplement. So addressing estrogen and testosterone is important. Also exercising. You know, you said that Chuck was doing a lot more exercising. When men exercise more, their testosterone levels go up.
Oh, my Lord. If he does, I mean, I'm going to go hit golf balls. I'm playing tennis. He's on a tennis team now. And he travels. I said, am I going to start buying Capri Suns and getting a t-shirt made, like for your team? He goes, I don't want you to see me yet. So I haven't seen, but he's had tournaments.
Oh.
He has a tennis team, and they practice. I've got tennis practice. And then golf. And then, do you want to ride horses? Do you want to, let's go run. Do you want to, I mean, it's just, he's got so much stamina.
Yeah.
And I'm going to paint the house. I'm going to plant flowers. I've never in my life, it seems to not need as much sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He's never needed a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
Chuck hasn't. He's one of those people that can go on, you know, and then he'll hit a wall and binge watch SVU, you know, on a Saturday or something. But I've never seen him like, well, he's always been driven, type A. Overachiever.
Yeah.
Always been worked out. But this is like a whole nother level. And I'm thinking, is this something? I hope he doesn't buy a tanning bed. I mean, what else are we going to? Or is he going to start lifting and like start bodybuilding? You know, you see those men.
Yeah.
That's freaky. And they're, you know, they're having a midlife thing. And before you know it,
they're
Oh, they look like
top heavy.
Yes, and then and they and they've been laying in a tanning bed. And they look odd, and they, you know, before you know it, they've got a girlfriend. You know, I mean, you know, and they're making out with somebody on a boat. I don't. And Chuck Morgan is loves the Lord, and that I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm just saying, it's just is that some, you know, when you hear about midlife crisis, is that mental? Is that physical? Like both?
Both, yeah, both. And I would say that with exercising, you know, typically people will feel better and they will feel like doing more things, and especially if it's bumping up testosterone levels, it's gonna.
So that happens naturally when you start doing that.
Yeah.
And if I exercise as much as Chuck, what would happen to me, Karen? What would happen? One, I'd shed this fanny and stomach. And then two, and this whatever's hooked on the back of my bra. And then I would, you're saying, so I would just go and do, and I'd be able to plant flowers and decorate. And,
well, you two are different people. I mean, so maybe
I know,
you
I'm
wouldn't turn
Z.
into it. You wouldn't turn into a different person, but it can help with energy and sleep.
Would I told you I did body combat and jazzercise, and I was wanting you to know more than anybody.
Yeah.
Also, would it? Can you up a woman's sex drive after she is dead in the water and has no feeling, no thought, no, you know? Everywhere I go, people go, I don't feel a thing. I don't have a thought. I don't know that part of me anymore. I'm in menopause, all that. Can you bump that up again?
Well, testosterone can help that for women. And I think I might have mentioned this before, but when women don't have enough estrogen or they don't have any estrogen, estrogen is what makes us feel female. And I think part of the problem is if the estrogen's too low, or if you're getting replacement, or if you're not replacing estrogen and it's zero, you just feel asexual. Yeah.
Michael Jackson. So, okay. So you need, so people need to.
Yeah, so having
provider,
so having estrogen and testosterone, and then I think too. I mean, libido is complicated for women. It's not as complicated for men. I hate to generalize, but it just isn't as complicated for men. For women, there's so much emotion tied to it that if we're tired, we're not interested. If we're stressed out, we're not interested. If we're ticked off because somebody didn't do the dishes, we're not interested.
We feel fat, bloated.
Yeah, if we don't like the way we look, we're not interested. If our hormones are off, we're not interested.
But there's something different now in my 50s. Like in my 40s, like I would have a fleeting moment of a thought of something, you know. And so there are ways, say if everybody unloaded the dishwasher and they were sweet, nobody was a butthole, and they gave you words of affirmation and all that, and they planted the flowers and watered them, and they took the dogs out. Could you have a way to build up your sex drive as a woman?
Right. Well, I think having the hormones better or more balanced will help, but I think also you have to be intentional in your relationship. You know, especially when you've been with a partner for a long, long time, there's a lot that's taken for granted, and a lot of people haven't nurtured that aspect of the relationship, and I think it needs to be nurtured and cared for and sort of reestablish that connection, that physical connection. So I think it takes more effort than it did, you know, in our 20s, 30s, 40s, but certainly can be done. And I think the problem is, even in your 40s, you're still making a lot of estrogen, and you're making a lot more than what you're getting when we give you a replacement. So it's a it's a bigger challenge and a sort of a redefining of who you are in your 50s, in your relationship, and making that work between two people by communicating and, like I said, being intentional about maintaining a physical relationship, if that's desired by both members of the couple.
Yes, kumbaya. But what I'm saying to you is, if I do jazzercise every day and nobody's a butthole.
Yeah, I think that would help. I think that would help.
And we went on long walks and reestablished how we felt about each other and reconnected after being an empty nester, you know, when your kids walk. All that. I get it. You know I'm on board with that.
Okay.
You know that I have a child and family studies background, and I dig it. But if Chunk is going to play tennis and play golf and run and do and have no body fat and he will not leave me alone, then is there any way I can help mine? I know we work on my hormones all the time. You have just saved my life. But I have been a slug, and let's all admit it right now, Lynn, when my thyroid crashed and I got that hernia and all that had, you know. So now that I'm back exercising and doing, some of that should help.
Yeah, right? It will, yeah.
I should feel better.
Because
I should look forward to maybe some benefit.
Yes. Well, we also need to work on you not being a sweaty mess when you are in bed.
Yes, and let me tell people that this happened. I have not gotten to see Karen and go in and talk to her about all this because I had to cancel my appointment because I was taking my little mama to the neurologist in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was the only one who could take her, and so I had to cancel this appointment. And so I have, you know, I never cancel my appointments. If you've got an appointment with Karen Nichol, you will freaking go in there if your foot has been cut off, you will drag a nub and get in there. Somebody was saying that to me. Who all have I seen? Because I brain fog. I've thought lately, it's just everywhere I go, people are like, oh my gosh, Karen Nichol. And if you get an appointment, honey, you don't cancel that appointment. You could have the flu and you go in because you want to see her. Everywhere I go. But anyway, so we'll get that.
Yes, we need to get that straightened out.
Yeah, because I am sweaty, and I do try to keep it on 68 degrees. But I really, you know, we've talked about a lot of products, fans, and there's mattresses, and I really think I'm going to invest in some of these cooling sheets and blankets and fans, and I'm not kidding, because I feel like, what am I sleeping under? And I feel like I've got good bedding. But there's now products that they've come out with.
That bamboo. That cooling weighted blanket we talked about. Blankwell.
Uh-huh. And there's mattresses now. There's mattress toppers. There's
cooling pillows.
Cooling technology.
I got cooling pillows for Forrest the other day.
You did? Where
did you get? JCPenney.
JCPenney had cooling pillows.
Yeah.
Does he
and they
like
were on
them?
Sale, too. Do you like him, Forrest?
Do you like him, Forrest? He's nodding yes. I need that because my head is wet and sweaty. But I've also got a pocket beagle. It's a butthole.
Yeah, I was
going
to say
head,
the beagle butt against the face.
And then the one down in my legs. But I've got on those horrible looking meemaw gowns that I wear, but they've got a dry wicking or wick technology. Ugh. But that's just, come on, and that's not your fault. That's just that I had to cancel that appointment. We haven't been able to talk about it. But anyway, okay, enough about that.
So, don't you love how we swung right back to women? Don't you love?
No, I make everything about me. I know I do. Well, what about me? What about my sex drive? Life would be so much easier if I had one. You know, I mean, life goes so much better. That's the way God made it. Okay, so for men... Men need to get checked out.
Yeah.
Good luck finding a provider. Go to your compound pharmacy.
But it's interesting because urologists oftentimes do testosterone replacement if the primary care provider doesn't do that. And a lot of primary care people do too. But You know, but I also use DHEA, which is a testosterone precursor that if you don't want to start testosterone quite yet, you can boost those levels by using DHEA as a precursor hormone. And that's an over-the-counter supplement. It just has to be dosed correctly based on the patient's symptoms and blood levels. So
you remember you put me on that at the very beginning of our relationship. Yeah. Can I take it now?
That probably would be a good thing for you. We need to revisit that. I think we stopped that because you were getting hair loss.
Oh. I just remember there was a woman in my Bible study, and she started taking it, and she was on fire.
Yeah.
And would not leave her husband alone. And then before you know it, she got new, like, drapes. And everybody's like, what? You're taking what? She goes, I'm taking this
DHEA.
DHEA. Yeah. And she's just like, I am, like, on fire.
Well, now that you don't need a hair weave anymore, maybe we could revisit that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like my hairdresser said today that I was in good shape with that.
Well, good.
I just have a normal amount of shedding, you know, that happens. But I know I'm a little thin up around my temples, but I think, you know, I'm 53.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like, you know, we stopped that. I don't feel like I've got that.
Yeah, that's much better control.
Oh, yeah. I haven't had trouble with that.
Okay, good.
I just now tie my hair up on my hand and sleep with it every night because I sweat so bad with it.
Yeah,
now.
We need to get that worked out. We'll find a time for you to come in.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, we need to do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And hopefully before I go to Tampa, Orlando, and Chicago.
Yes.
In the end of July. And if anybody needs to know where I'm performing, just look at leahmorgan.com.
Yes.
Or my Instagram, Facebook.
Chicago first.
Chicago and then Tampa and Orlando.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome.
And Texas I just got booked dates, Texas in December. So a lot of people, you know, listen to us from Texas.
I know, that's
good. And
they're always
like, when are you going to be in Texas? It'll be Christmas time, honey. Oh. That'll be my Santa Claus. That's how I'll make Santa Claus money.
Perfect.
Okay, well, okay. All right. I know it's time. I've had a ball.
I have too. And we tried to talk about men, and we did that for a little while. I think
that
was good.
Do you think we covered what we needed to?
I think we covered it. So that's good. But we need to have you come in the office for sure.
Okay.
Okay. We'll find out.
I'm so sissy. Everybody know that I'm very dramatic and needy. No. And I put a lot on her. Okay. Well, thanks.
We will
my
see
darling.
You next time on Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Sweaty and Pissed. Sweaty and